Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael. The number here is 888-850-1872. I'm kind of doing a debrief, a download debrief, after that interview with G.T. Hunt about habeas corpus. This idea of, well, they're all bad guys, and they're not American citizens, so standards of due process understood in strong American Christendom, America, from the foundation of our country. Oh, by the way, you know what? You know who else didn't get due process? Those people who were property. Remember, what was that? Dred Scott decision. Justice Chief, they call it Justice, Chief Justice Taney, oxymoron Taney, said that people who were in bondage are not allowed to go free in states where they are free. Actually, it wasn't Dred Scott. There was a different decision that talked about somebody escaping from slavery, and they were required by the Constitution. Actually, it's a little bit different, that they were required to be sent back. And that was a little bit of a twist. It was so that was a weird reading. That whole idea of somebody being property and not being having the right of due process, rights that would normally be attributed to justice. You know what that violated? That was a twisted reading of some of the words in the Constitution. We could go there and talk about it specifically. But it went very contrary to a biblical prohibition of sending somebody back into slavery if they showed up in your land, the land of justice, the land that God set his law over. It was a land of justice. And if somebody escaped from slavery, they were not allowed to send them back. They are free. That was Old Testament provision. Well, Justice Taney and other cases besides Dred Scott, they were ignoring that ultimate law, that higher authority. And of course, it was wreaking havoc in America. There was people created in the image of God who were being denied justice, denied due process. It was wrong. It was ultimately and actually wrong. Do people get just due process on the basis of the United States Constitution, or is there a law that is higher? There's a law higher than U.S. Constitution, that the U.S. Constitution essentially arranges a government structure that must operate according to law, the law that's higher than the Constitution, the law that pre-exists the Constitution. I'm going to go to Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution. The judicial power of the United States, it's not the judicial power of the military, is it? Judicial power of the military is something completely different. Judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as Congress from time to time may ordain and establish. But it's the judicial branch, the judicial power. The judicial power shall be vested in one Supreme Court and such inferior courts. That means courts that are subordinate to the Supreme Court. Courts that are subordinate to the Supreme Court, not in a separate branch, but subordinate to the Supreme Court. We're going to take a call. We're going to see what our caller thinks. Caller, thank you for calling Frank Talk 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Hi, David.
Hey.
You know, referring to your guest earlier, who was it that decided that we're going to ignore all laws of the land, do it my way or the highway, and forget everybody else? I know this all seemed to happen under Cheney and Bush when they took over. They just seemed to be above the law. But what was the thought behind them doing that? What was the reasoning or lack of reasoning?
Part of it is this is from my experience, my firsthand experience, and this is conjecture. It's probably completely wrong. It's got an iota of some factual association. The conjecture on my part is, from what I've seen the Justice Department and other government law agencies doing, is they do what seems practical or pragmatic at the moment, and then they try to hedge their bets and protect their behavior. There's always what they call it, a compelling moral imperative behind to justify what you're doing. Right justifies might kind of thing. That's the tendency of government. That's the tendency of the executive branch. That's the tendency of fallen man, is to justify your behavior. The goal ultimately is to do what is right. But sometimes you do things depending on your passion. So I don't know whose idea it was, but I will just tell you, I've seen in operation government actors trying to protect themselves and protect what they do instead of examining what they do. So who's
trying to get out of it by doing what they did, by just saying, well, we're just going to lock everybody up and then we'll let the cards fall where they may.
Well, can I tell you, I think their goal was right. A sense of responsibility of protecting the country, of security. It's a very weird time, very unprecedented in history. And you were operating in this thing where you didn't really know what to do. Well, what court decides it? How many? And think about it. They don't necessarily go back to the Constitution. What people, men, Congress, what they're doing is they're doing what seems right to them. The fool does what is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to counsel is wise. So I would say it's a propensity of fallen man to do what men do. Now, ultimately, they're motivated by a passion for protection of their country. They're motivated by protection of their own political situation and to please their bosses. I mean, there's all kinds of just natural motivations. I don't know who's deciding it, but the point is our Constitution is laid out understanding that men are depraved and need to be held accountable. And the best mechanism they had was separate branches of government. So that, have you ever heard the term, no man shall be his own cause? Or should be, no man should be a cause of his own action.
Or no man is an island, same thing?
Well, no. Shakespeare used it in a play. I know in Federalist Papers number 10, Madison used it for an analogy.
Right.
It actually goes back to the Bible. It says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. So are the three parts, the competing ambitions of the frame of our government was set up knowing that you shouldn't have one man be the accuser, be the witness, be the prosecutor, be the judge. You see what I'm saying? If everybody in the executive branch is judging these people, I mean, think about it. They're deciding who is actually even going to have their case heard within their own system. I mean, and we can't mock them. What we have to do is...
That would be unprecedented in our own backyard on a local level.
The point is not, oh, those jerks, look what they're doing. Wait a minute. Maybe you're a jerk of saying they're a jerk because you want all the terrorists to come and kill America. Calm down, folks. What it is we have no faith, so we're not willing to do what's right, and believing that doing that which is right is going to ultimately work out for everybody's safety and prosperity.
It's kind of like that old slogan you used to see, which is a moronic slogan, but it's like, kill them all, let God sort them out type of deal.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's not my mentality, but I will tell you.
I'm not saying that, but that's kind of like the mentality of what I see here. We just kind of just lock them up and then we'll just let the cards fall where they may, like I said earlier.
Well, that may be, but the point is, in a situation, what are we supposed to do? We got to get back to the reference. Let's get back to the plan. Let's get back to the rule book.
Was there a rule book, though?
I mean, there's a Constitution.
Well, I know, but at the time that all this happened, it doesn't seem like there was a rule book. It's like, let's just do something to be doing something and make it look good.
Well, it was outside the boundaries. You know what? Congress had not set anything up to tell the executive how to behave in this situation. So they were shooting from the seat of their pants.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
And I've had debate with this, and this... I know you know a lot about the Constitution. Wherever in Guantanamo Bay and Gitmo and all these other places and U.S. military bases, that's where we fly our flag, right?
Well, we fly it there, yes.
Okay. Now, isn't it true wherever our flag flies, the Constitution goes hand in hand with it? Our Constitution.
Well, that's a good question. I would say by what the U.S. Supreme Court has said recently, that's true. Even the U.S. government has argued, hey, we're on Cuban soil.
Yeah, but our flag is flying there.
The flag's flying there. But, you know, they don't just use that as a maxim. They examine other things to back it up because there should be evidence to show that wherever the U.S. has power, then the law applies. I will tell you also, if the U.S. is effectively, I don't know, that's a bigger question. I don't know if
okay.
I want to tackle that.
On a U.S. military base in Germany or anywhere other place in the world, if a crime happens on that base, it's under, doesn't our Constitution apply to that base?
Well, the Constitution applies, but depending on the situation, the Constitution, well, I'll give you an example. Let's say something happens in a national park. You know what the Supreme Court recently ruled? It, and in many cases around the country, it is not exclusive jurisdiction of the federal government. In fact, in most cases,
UN?
No, it's the jurisdiction of the state or the county.
Oh.
And not even though it's on a national park, unless it's been ceded over by the act of the legislature to be a fort in accordance with the U.S. Constitution, the federal government has no exclusive jurisdiction. Depending on what the law is that's violated, where it is and what happens, they may have concurrent jurisdiction. It really has to do with the law of the land and what offense occurs and who it occurs to. So even the U.S. Supreme Court in recent cases that I've been reading is not sold out on just because there's a flag there, you know.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I've been hearing this debate about, well, we shouldn't try these detainees over here and bring them over here because it could be a threat to the country. Well, the crime was committed here, right?
Well, yeah.
Shouldn't it be tried where the crime is committed?
Well, based on my opinion, I don't know, but based on this Constitution, Article 5 and Article 6, whether people like it or not, guess what? It's supposed to be where the state, I'm sorry, not Article 5, Article 6. I guess it's Article 3, Section, let me go ahead. Article 3, Section, I had this down. I had it figured out. It was here. It says that all crimes, where does it say all crimes? The trial of all crimes, except in cases of impeachment, shall be by jury. Such trial shall be held in the state where the said crime shall have been committed.
Right. Okay. So now, I don't know why we're having this big argument, because to me, if let's say you're a person that's visiting from Japan or any other country, okay, and you come into any one of our states here in the United States and you shoot somebody, you're tried here, aren't you?
Well, you know what? Yes, it is. And what it is
the difference?
Well, let me tell you, it does go back to the thing of wherever the flag's flying or wherever reasonable men who are in this Commonwealth of the United States, who understand right from wrong, understand that law and due process ought to happen. If it's in their cognizance to take care of it, it ought to happen. And in fact, if you're overseas and you see a violation of law, I think cowards let violations of law go by and say, well, we're in somebody else's country. Well, be a big man and make sure justice happens, notwithstanding where you are on the planet. That is the perspective and understanding of the American jurisprudence over these last couple of hundred years, is if it's in front of you and you know right from wrong, because you're an American, you know better, you make sure that right happens. You will be held accountable if some knucklehead in Afghanistan starts shooting up a bunch of Afghanis.
Getting back to Guantanamo Bay and
okay.
The other ones.
We got 1 minute.
Our flag is flying there. We got our base there. These guys, our Constitution should apply to these people.
Well,
okay.
Wait. Stop there. The Constitution applies to the people who are the Americans who are carrying out the activities of justice.
Right.
It may not apply to those people. Law applies to those people. The law that's higher than the Constitution applies
okay.
to everybody, but the Constitution and how people are supposed to behave as agents of the United States, it applies to those people no matter where they are. Under the U.S. flag, American citizens,
I think it's very
military.
Important that we do everything the way you're saying, under the Constitution, because we're supposed to be the shining light above everybody else in the world and put ourselves in good light.
Okay, hey, thank you for the call. Good comment.
As usual, another great show.
Hey, thanks. Okay, guys, we're going to come back next week. Yes, 1 week at a time. We're going to listen to the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. Some really sharp people who know what's going on, know what's been going on, and know what's going to happen in the future. It's well worth listening to. Tune in. Check out faithfreedoms.org and our podcast, faithfreedoms.net.